Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Dyslexia is a reading disorder that affects one in five, and millions go undiagnosed, do not receive the appropriate intervention or help that they should get through their schools. Learning Foundations will present a screening of a special documentary tonight, Embracing Dyslexia. That's at 6 p.m. at the Alamo Drafthouse Stone Oak, but I'm told that it's all the free tickets are already snapped up, but you can watch the documentary online. And with me in the studio, I've got Luis Macias. He's the director of the film, and also Rafael Scarnati, who is with Learning Foundations here in San Antonio. And here's a clip of the documentary.
Jessica was in third grade when we kind of hit a wall here at home with homework. She had been fine up until then, and then it came to a point where she would just get frustrated almost immediately. She would spend hours just doing simple things that were sent home, and there were a lot of tears, a lot of late nights, a lot of fits. We slowly started to see her self-confidence just tank. I mean, it just went down and down and down. She started to feel really stupid and didn't want to go to school, and it was a hard time.
And that is a clip from the film Embracing Dyslexia. You can also see it online. It's on YouTube. And with me in the studio, of course, to talk about that, we have Luis Macias. He's the director of the film, and with Learning Foundations, Rafael Scarnati. So, Rafael, let me ask you real quick. Tell me about dyslexia. How do you know if you have it, or what does it mean? Tell me about that.
Sure. So dyslexia, what it means is it's a difficulty with language, mainly with how people process language. It's neurological in origin, which means that it has nothing to do with either good or bad parenting. It has nothing to do with intelligence. It also has nothing to do with how hard a student is trying to be able to read or spell. So all of these things, we look at whether or not a child is dyslexic. We always want to make sure that they have certain warning signs. So there's a lot of early warning signs, even before they get to read and to spell in school, that we can look at that might be indicators for dyslexia. So typically, even before a child goes into first grade, there are things like, if they have difficulty learning to tie their shoes. Dyslexia tends to be something that affects sequencing, and it affects being able to differentiate between left and right. And so learning to tie your shoes, it involves following a sequence of steps and having to go from left to right often. Another warning sign that you can see is if they are late talkers. If they don't generally start using language until after about 18 months, sometimes after, long after that. Typically, if they're learning how to speak, when they're saying, they might mix up words on some syllables on longer words. Like, for example, they can say things like pizgeti or aminol or futterbly, or, you know, things that they're mixing up.
So they transpose the syllables.
Exactly. And this is in speech, not necessarily, you know, with even before the reading and the writing. Typically, kids with dyslexia tend to get their left and right confused often. And even with adults, as dyslexic adults, you can tell some of the things with an adult, whether or not he could have dyslexia, by looking at some of those quirks. If they can't automatically tell left from right, if they get that confused, that's just one of the things that we look for.
So, Luis, you're the documentary of the film. Why did you do a documentary on dyslexia?
The reason I did it was because my son was diagnosed with dyslexia when he was in second grade. And we weren't actually told by the school. It was my mom who had suggested that we get him tested. And we did, find out that he was indeed dyslexic. But this came after he was held back in first grade because of difficulties in reading. And had we known about dyslexia before then, knowing what it was, we would not have held him back, because that didn't make any difference to him. The only thing it did was scar him. And it's something, he's in fifth grade now, but he still remembers that, and he still doesn't react positively to that. So the reason for making the film was I wanted to do what I could to help educate others on what it was, especially teachers, administrators, principals, so that they don't make the same mistakes that our school did, and, you know, have a child repeat a grade when it's not necessary, or, you know, just assume that a child's not trying hard enough, or assume that this is the best that they can do.
I mean, to join the conversation, if you got stories about dyslexia, we want to hear from you. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Dyslexia is not new. I mean, this has been around forever. I remember seeing a Room 22 episode when I was a little kid about dyslexia. Why are we still having to explain this to people?
Well, the problem is that there's a huge disconnect between the academic community, the research, the people that do the research, and the medical field, and the teachers. So the teachers and parents are generally the people that can identify some of these things. Now, there's years and years and years of research behind it, and unfortunately, you know, still to this day, in college, teacher training programs in college don't dedicate nearly enough time as they should on dyslexia. So teachers aren't trained to identify it. Parents don't know if it is dyslexia until unless they do some research on their own online or they know somebody that can tell them or something. But most people don't ever find out. So, you know, yes, one out of five people have some degree of dyslexia, but unfortunately, most of those people go undiagnosed. And there's a lot of myths also regarding dyslexia that most teachers also have and parents also have. One of those myths is that you can't diagnose dyslexia until third grade. Another myth is that dyslexia means that you see things backwards or that you read things backwards.
Like that the letters are scrambled, that you may... God becomes dog. That's not it. That there's so many different types of dyslexia. It is perceived differently by different people.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they transpose letters. So visually, people with dyslexia see exactly the same as everybody else. The problem is that it is a language processing.
It's between
problem.
The eyeball and the brain.
Yes, exactly. It is a language processing problem, and not necessarily even with the eyeball. It can also be through the auditory system. It makes it difficult to pair up the sound that a letter is supposed to make with the actual letter. And that's why you'll see a lot of B and D's get reversed, because they're the same symbol.
Okay, I'm going to get a call on really quick. Sure. Stephanie is on the line. Stephanie, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
I really just wanted to call and put a comment in that I totally agree with what everyone was saying about teachers not really understanding dyslexia and suggesting that students be held back when they don't necessarily need to. I am currently a fourth grade teacher at the Winston School in San Antonio, which is a private school for students with learning differences. And this is something that we see a lot of times with students coming in, and their confidence is very low because they don't really realize that it's not a learning disability, it's a learning difference, where they just need to have maybe a different teaching style or someone come in with an intervention to help them figure out how they learn best.
All right, Stephanie, thank you so much for that call. We appreciate it. We invite other callers to join in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We're talking about dyslexia, Embracing Dyslexia, a documentary that's screening tonight. It's also available on YouTube, kind of breaking some of the myths about dyslexia and how you can help find training and help for your child if you have it. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX.
Just looking at this book and all these words and supposed to know this stuff, you know, because I didn't pass. I failed. In fact, they held me back. Then the rest of it is pretty much a blur somewhat, but I kind of figured out that I wasn't going to get this, and this is as far as I was going to go. So what I did was learn how to be quiet, try to be as invisible as possible, you know what I'm saying, because you don't want to draw any attention to yourself. And I was aware that the other kids was getting it. I wasn't. And so drawing is what I pretty much started doing to keep other than just being feeling like part of the furniture, giving myself something to do while I was sitting there. I knew there was a problem, but it seemed like nobody around me seemed to respond to it.
And that is a clip from the documentary Embracing Dyslexia, an adult talking about his experience as a child having dyslexia. There's a screening tonight for the documentary at the Alamo Drafthouse Stone Oak. That's at 6 p.m. But we're told that there were free tickets and all the free tickets got snapped up. That is an indication of the hunger for information about dyslexia that we have around us. With me in the studio, I have Luis Macias. He is the director of the film. And Rafael Scarnati, he is with Learning Foundations in San Antonio, what does diagnosis and training of dyslexia in the area. And we welcome your calls. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And so, Luis, can you tell us a little bit more about the gentleman that was, you know, giving his testimony right there about having dyslexia as a child?
His name is Cornell, and we actually met him through Twitter. He contacted me. And I read about him on his website, and his story was pretty tragic, and I felt that it would be important to include that in my film because it's important for people to understand just how devastating dyslexia can be when it goes undiagnosed. And so we went to go and interview him in Michigan, in Detroit. And, you know, his story, as part of the clip says, he was failed probably 8 or 9 times in grade school. He actually never graduated from grammar school. He left at the age of 18 years old from 8th grade and never went to high school, never went to college. He tried to get his GED, but because of his dyslexia, he was never really able to fulfill that. He tried for over a period of 10 years, and it never worked out for him. So right now he works as a janitor for Detroit, for I think at the water plant or something like that. And here is a very talented, very smart fella who unfortunately just can't seem to get the break that he needs. And I feel really bad for him because you can hear him. You know, you can hear that he's got great vocabulary.
Very charismatic. He seems very intelligent to talk to him and hear him.
And if you saw his drawings, if you see the film, you'll see his drawings. This guy has some serious talent, and it's just going unnoticed.
Let's get some calls on the air. We got a lot of callers calling in to 614-8980. Let's get Armando on the air. Armando, welcome to The Source.
Hello, hello.
Hey there. Go ahead.
Yes, I had a bad case of dyslexia when I was a kid, and I can recall in summer school, they didn't know how to deal with it. Like in 1982, they would send me to a summer school with a bunch of mentally retarded kids. And that's the way they dealt with it every year. Every year I would go to that school.
And what happened to you?
I guess I just learned to cope with it. And it's always been a problem. Reading and spelling has always been a problem. But like I said, in 1982, they didn't know how to deal with it or didn't know what was wrong with us. Or, you know, the group of kids that I still am in contact with that have the same situation.
Armando, thank you for your call. Let me ask you, Rafael, about adult dyslexia. I mean, you don't outgrow dyslexia, right?
Yes, thank you. And that's actually one of the things that I wanted to comment on. So Armando said that I had dyslexia when I was a kid. And that's one thing that we always tell, you know, everybody, dyslexia is a lifelong thing. It doesn't mean that if you have dyslexia, you're always going to struggle or you're never going to learn how to read and how to spell. But it's something that, because it's neurological, it is a lifelong issue. Now, having said that, there is a lot of research to show that there are a lot of ways to teach a person with dyslexia to read and how to spell properly. The other thing to understand is, in his particular case, he was put in with a lot of kids that had a lot of other mental and cognitive disabilities. And that's the one thing we always need to keep in mind is that people with dyslexia, yes, they struggle with reading and spelling, but they also, because of that neurological difference, tend to have a lot of gifts. And so people with dyslexia tend to be very creative. They're very empathetic usually. They're very good at visual spatial skills, so they tend to be very good architects, engineers, lawyers, teachers, in show business. So there's a lot of things that the dyslexia that they have can provide an advantage. It's our responsibility as society and the education system to be able to find what those gifts are and to help them grow into activities that will let them use those gifts.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's really important for people to understand that reading, one's ability to read does not equal one's intelligence. I think so often we look at someone's ability to read or spell, say, boy, if they read horribly or they spell horribly, they must not be very smart. Dyslexia is not that. Dyslexics tend to be at least on average or above average in terms of intelligence. It's just that they struggle with the reading and the spelling. And I think, like I said, too often people just assume that because you have those difficulties that you're just not intelligent.
You know, and just from my own experience, I know what aggravates my dyslexia, if lack of sleep, you know, not watching my diet, and also if I get to have more exercise, things where I can, then I'm more able to keep things straight, read more comfortably. And so there's a lot there that you can be worked with. You can improve your ability to deal and manage your dyslexia. So let me get another caller on the air. Let's get Clint on the air. Clint, welcome to The Source.
I had a couple questions. Growing up, I always had a big problem with numbers and letters. Like, I'd be writing down an A, but in my head I'd write down an A, but out of my pencil would come an 8, the number 8. And I was just wondering if dyslexia, if it was common to have mixed up numbers and letters, and or was that just algebra class getting to me?
All right, Raphael, do you want to answer that? Thanks, yeah. Clint, for that question.
Yeah, it is very common. And actually, one of the...
I mean, so is it common for everybody? Does this happen to everybody?
It doesn't have to, but it is one of the typical red flags. In fact...
I mean, for neurological, typical people.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, if I'm writing stuff and I get things backwards, I don't know if this is me or if it's because I have dyslexia or if this is because everyone does it and I never heard about it.
Yeah. Up to about the middle of first grade, you'll typically see kids that still reverse their letters and their numbers. After that, if it happens often, where they'll either reverse letters or instead of writing a letter, they'll write a number like a 5 and an S, for example, then that's one of the warning signs. Now, those things, by themselves, don't mean that you're dyslexic. There's a lot of different areas that come into play. But, yes, that is one of the typical warning signs.
So if someone tells you, here's my phone number, and you write it down, and you look back at it and it says, that's not the number they told me. I got it all messed up. Then, boy, you probably have some form of dyslexia.
Well, it doesn't mean necessarily that. But, let me say it this way. If you are dyslexic, that might happen often. Uh-huh. But if that happens, that doesn't mean that you're dyslexic.
Okay.
So, and I hear a lot of people say, oh, that was my dyslexia when they made a spelling mistake or something.
Okay. All right. Let me get Robert on the line. Robert has called in. Robert, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, basically, I was curious if anyone considers integrating dyslexic and average cognitive students into one classroom, if that's going to be too much of a burden on teachers, or if that's politically incorrect to separate students based on their capacities for learning.
Okay, Robert. Well, isn't it like the whole idea is to mainstream everybody? You're not supposed to be separated out if you have dyslexia. I mean, is that what you have found, Raphael?
Yeah, and actually, currently, at least here in San Antonio, schools have been doing a much better job of keeping kids with dyslexia in the classroom. And so there's been a lot more research about how inclusion works a lot better, especially for their self-esteem. Again, they're not slow or lazy or not that they can't learn the material. The reading and the spelling is hard for them, but they can be in the classroom, and especially if the material that is being taught in a way that doesn't require the kids to just read, but if it's done in kind of a more an experiential way, then of course they're going to learn it perfectly. So yeah, there's a lot more of inclusion in the classroom for kids with dyslexia, which seems to be a better solution than just removing them completely and singling them out.
So Luis, what kind of special accommodations can teachers make if you have a pupil with dyslexia who's been properly diagnosed?
There's a few things that teachers can do that actually don't cost any money. You can avoid having the child go up to the board and write answers on the board, something that's going to expose their dyslexia to the classroom. And that's another thing, is not to accidentally or on purpose expose the child's dyslexia to the class. It's nobody's business but the teachers.
Because they can be ridiculed, stigmatized,
bullied,
be given a label, something that can last their entire life.
Yeah.
And just stress them out, you know, and then they'll shut down like some people did in your documentary.
Yeah.
I want to thank both of you for being with us on The Source today. We've been speaking with Luis Macias. He's the director of the film Embracing Dyslexia. It's on tonight, free at 6 p.m. at the Alamo Drafthouse, Stone Oak. You said sold out, but you can watch it online on YouTube.
For free.
For free. So in the privacy of your home, show it to your kids. If you think you need to share this with them, just check it out. It's an interesting, great, beautifully done documentary. Also, Rafael Scarnati, he is with Learning Foundations here in San Antonio. Thanks so much for joining us on The Source.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to us. This is The Source on KSTX.